Hello, I'm Sumit Bose, and this is the Net Hero podcast. But before we start, check out the brand new futurenetzero.com. We've completely revamped the website platform. It has an extra two areas that will really help you out. One is the index, which is an index of technologies to help you understand what's out there right now to help your business or local authority or public sector organization make the difference. Technologies made simple. And the second is our learning toolkit. It'll help any business go from zero knowledge to getting their carbon footprint and beyond. Our aim is to help you take action, put net zero in action with our new platform. The podcast, of course, continues to go from strength to strength, so make sure you keep subscribing. We want to tell your stories, big or small. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a business, you're an academic, you're a campaigner, if you're doing anything that's trying to help us cut our emissions, come and tell your story on the Net Hero podcast. Now, on to this week's episode. Computer says no. Well, actually, not just computers. The whole world of IT is one of those worlds that we've been fascinated with for the last 50 years. When I was a kid, it was like the coolest, weirdest thing is to build your own PC and do that sort of stuff. Of course, I was pretty crap at it, so I didn't bother, but lots of people did, and they've made a lot more money than I have. But computers are now ubiquitous. This is a computer. It might be called a phone, but frankly, it's a computer. Laptops, hard drives, all those things. Think of the changes that have happened. But one of the things that's always been an issue since the whole IT world exploded, probably in the mid-70s, early 80s, is what you do with them at the end of the day. Most computers, as you well know, don't last very long. I'm pretty proud that I've got my MacBook going for the last 7 years, even though Apple certainly want me to flip and renew it because they keep making it difficult. But I went and got it changed by a guy I know to put in a new hard drive and do all these things. Now, you could say that's stupid, why bother? You could get one much cheaper. But I kind of thought, well, it ain't really broke, so why am I having to upgrade? And this is the pressure many of us feel, that the computer, it's great, but it has a built-in kind of doomsday clock that after a while, it's vestigial. You can't use it. We've got computers sitting here. They're actually probably really good machines, but they're out of date. We'd have to change all the drives. We'd have to change the cards inside. And it becomes so difficult. It certainly is not something you can't do unless you're very qualified and too expensive. So has the IT world pushed us into a way that we actually are encouraged to throw things away? And could there be a different way to do it? Well, that's what I'm going to discuss on this episode of the Net Hero podcast. And the idea of a computer that's built from scratch with bits that you and I can change to make sure it lives as long a life as it can. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Nirav Patel, who's the founder of a company called Framework. Nirav, hello.
Great to be here.
Now, you're in, where else could I, what I say? You're a computer man in Silicon Valley. You're sitting somewhere in, is it California you are right now?
That's right. Yeah, I'm in San Francisco.
San Francisco. It's all going well. How long have you been in the computer world?
Yeah. So, well, in Framework, we started off in January 2020, but actually I've been in consumer electronics now for just about 15 years, starting off at Apple, then as part of Oculus building VR headsets before founding Framework.
Let's go back before. I want to talk about what you're doing with Framework. What got you into computing?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things, I think if you talk to most engineers, it usually starts with a story of taking apart everything they get their hands on as a kid. Yeah. So I definitely fell into that bucket. So, you know, taking apart.
That's why you're making much more than it. That's exactly it.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, taking apart a computer sometime when I was, a kid and tinkering around with the insides and seeing like, oh, yeah, this is really interesting. This is really engaging. And, uh-huh. You know, treating it almost as a toy. And then over the years of continuing to tinker with my own computers and build my own desktops, increasingly seeing the computer industry broadly move away from that kind of natural place that these things were modular and upgradable and repairable, yes, to a place where they were locked down and glued together and soldered in a way that they were no longer accessible in that way.
And that's the funny thing, isn't it? I mean, if you read the books about kind of Apple and how it started, obviously that's the glory story. But it's the same as kind of any of the others, Hewlett Packard, Microsoft. Computers were basically a bunch of people taking circuit boards and throwing things together in the heyday. And a lot of people built computers. I remember, in the early 80s and sort of early 90s. You could go to a bloke who lived in a weird place and he fixed things. You don't see much of that now. When did that shift come to exactly what you said, which is the computer is all sealed and actually once it's kind of getting a bit slow, get a new one?
Yeah, it's really gradually over the course of about 15 years. And really, you can actually point to the industrial design shifts that kind of drove that, largely actually coming from Apple in the direction that they took, starting with their MacBooks and MacBook Pros, from a place where even if you look back 10 years, you could upgrade your memory and storage in a MacBook to a place where actually that's quite inaccessible and actually pretty possible.
Yeah, you could do it. Absolutely. You're right. Yeah.
Right. And the challenge, of course, is, you know, Apple being the biggest and most successful company in the computer space, all of the other notebook and PC makers would look at that and say, like, well, that's the direction they took. That's the industrial design that must be successful. So we better follow that path. And so we've ended up in this place where just across the board, almost every notebook they can buy is glued together and sealed shut in the same way.
It's funny, isn't it? In a way, the parallel is with cars. So, you know, cars, back when I was young, people could fix things like the carburetor or tinkle with it. Now, if something goes wrong, you can't take the speedometer out because it's all in one big panel. Why do you think that shift has happened? Is it just been easier for computer manufacturers to say, right, okay, the keyboard is built with all the gubbins inside and then we just seal it all up?
Yeah, some of it's industrial design direction, sort of almost a cargo cult mentality of following the most successful company in the space, you know, as I noted, Apple there, and others kind of following that same direction without necessarily achieving the same level of refinement, but still accepting the same trade-offs. And then, of course, there are things like manufacturing efficiency or even like a desire for perceived simplicity when in reality, perhaps actually that end user would still prefer that they could just replace that battery or replace that keyboard rather than having something that, you know, looks like it's more simple.
And that's a funny thing, isn't it? That, you know, as consumers, I don't know whether this is a thing that's happened over time, people are less engaged with their products, right?
Yeah, this is an interesting one.
Yeah, you know, because people are just like kind of, okay, it comes, it works, oh God, it's finished, throw it away. Whereas kind of I'm from that time, you know, a bit older than you, well, quite a lot older than you, but, you know, we would take things apart and go, actually, my record player's not working, I'll change the belt or I'll change the needle.
Right.
And, you know, now all these things are all sealed. Is it really the weird thing that it's kind of chicken and egg? The computer people started making these things simpler, it's easier, it's cheaper, and also they would say, people like me don't fiddle with it and anything goes wrong. But also as consumers have decided to take away the responsibility. We just want something that just works. And then when it's done, we get rid of it.
Yeah, it's a kind of a downward spiral there, that chicken and egg of, you know, increasingly that feedback loop of companies building less successful products, consumers expecting less successful products, and it continues to spiral downwards. The one pretty promising thing that we are seeing is that Gen Z and younger consumers especially are actually rejecting the status quo. And of course, you know, we're back in the chicken and egg scenario of, you know, they can reject the status quo computers, but if there aren't alternative computers available to them, then they're sort of stuck with what's out there. But you can see in other categories like apparel or consumer packaged goods, where there are actually quite a few brands coming in with honestly more environmentally friendly, less anti-consumer ethos, but also truly actually delivering on products in a way that are less harmful. And you do see younger audiences actually gravitating towards those and seeing those brands actually resonate pretty well.
Where did the idea for Framework come from?
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. You know, it looks like what we're doing is product innovation. Like, we're building these very interesting, innovative, upgradable, modular, repairable products. And so it looks like it's a product company. But actually, in reality, it's a business model company. The kind of the core focus of Framework and the founding momentum and inertia behind it came from the business model. This idea that in order to actually build...
But what I'm saying is what triggered you? Because you founded it, didn't you?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, what was the thing that everyone has a moment? Do you just woke up one day, look at your computer, think, you know, whoever it was from, Mac or a PC or whatever, and go, I could build something better than this? Where'd it come from?
Yeah, no, the actual thing is, like, we actually did not start. I didn't start Framework to build a computer. I started Framework to fix the consumer electronics industry, and computers just happened to be the first product that we're building.
Right.
But fundamentally, for me, it was the realization that consumer electronics was just in a bad place. It is in a bad place, where we've got all these companies that are building products that are not especially friendly to their end users, that are pretty damaging to the environment, bad business models, roles building bad products that are bad for the environment. There must be a way to actually resolve this and build a company that has a good business model,
yeah,
that is doing consumer positive things and is less damaging to the environment.
Was the driver for you environmentalism? Are you a greeno? Is that something that was really part of what what got you going to think about this?
That's an aspect of it, but a big part of it is just this idea of ownership, that if you're buying a product as a consumer, as a business, that should be your product. You should be able to use it for as long as you'd like to. You should be able to make it do the things that you want it to do, rather than being restricted by the company that made that product.
Right. So it's all about freedom of kind of me as the consumer deciding I want to change things. That was something that was part of
it. Yeah, or I want to use it for 7 years instead of 3 years.
Correct. What's the average lifespan of a laptop, of any kind of notebook, as you call it, would you say?
Yeah, for consumer in the US, it's actually about 3.5 years is kind of the median lifespan of a notebook before it gets replaced.
And that is basically because the software is just super fast and changing so that the hardware can't cope, or is it because the basic machine starts to fail? Because they're pretty robust things, aren't they, really?
This is an interesting one. So we actually have done quite a bit of market research and customer research around this. And what we found is, for the most part, the reasons that people are replacing their laptops are reasons that are quite resolvable if a product is designed to be repairable or upgradable. They're not typically...
Such as the battery, or...
The most common things that we found were running out of storage space.
Yep.
My battery's worn out.
Yep.
Or things like I broke the screen, the keyboard, the ports, all these very fixable things. Sometimes it is stuff like my workload, my software load got a bit heavier and more intense, and therefore I need a bit more performance. But actually, the thing that we found that was quite surprising, actually, is that very, very few people are replacing their product because they want the new and shiny. Like, it's not that there's new and shiny out there and that drives them to want a new product.
This is really the thing. They call it early adopters, isn't it? Oh, something's new coming. I want that. That's not the real reason, you're saying. Most of it is practical things.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In these mature categories like notebooks or televisions, and actually increasingly even smartphones, where, you know, like clockwork, we used to replace our smartphones every 2 years, some people even more.
When the contract finished, absolutely, yeah.
Right, yeah. And these days now you can see, you know, Apple releases a new iPhone and people look at it and say like, well, actually my iPhone,
I'm gonna wait.
Kind of works. I mean, yeah. Or actually it ends up being often like, well, my iPhone battery wore out, so now I'm forced to go buy the new iPhone. But the unfortunate thing there is that, you know, these batteries are $30, $40 items for a $1,000 product. You shouldn't have to replace
exactly.
Yeah, just to get that $30 battery.
So what do you do? How do your computers differ then?
Yeah, this is the interesting thing, is that we really looked at what people are actually using their computers for, how they're using them day to day, what they look for, and made sure that we satisfy the table stakes requirements. So our product's the same size, it's the same weight, it's the same performance, it's the same price point as that Dell or HP or Lenovo they would have otherwise. But within those constraints, we've designed the product to be very easy to upgrade, to repair, and to customize.
All right, let's paint a picture for the, because people will be watching this, but also some will be listening. So I get your computer, it comes out. Does it come in a kit? Do I have to build it, or does it come already made?
Yeah, we actually have two versions. One is kind of that highly technical enthusiast-focused kit, which is the build it yourself. And that's just it's not that you have to build it yourself. It's that people want to build it themselves. There's a set of consumers out there who loves that they can build it themselves.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we also just have the normal pre-built, take it out of the box and turn it on version.
That's for me. Thank you. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. For people who don't necessarily want to build their own computer. And both, and yet at the end of the day, once you finish that setup process, they're both the same. They're actually the same computer. It just one lets you do that tinkering process and the other one doesn't, you know, force you to go through that if you don't want.
Just on that point, do you sell many of those kit ones? Is there a demand for them?
We do. Yeah. We actually sell today more of the what we call the DIY edition than the pre-built.
Wow.
And that is just a reflection that our earliest adopters are a lot of highly technical consumers, but we do also sell a large number of the pre-configured, pre-built version to more general consumers who just want a computer that works for them.
So I've got my laptop. I'm not going to buy the one that you have to build. Okay. So I'll take the one you've given me. Nirav, it's fine. And I've got it. I turn it on and I'm using it. It's just a computer. Fine. Whatever. What are the things I can change after 2 or 3 years? And how easy are they to change?
Right, yeah. So we made these really easy to follow step-by-step guides and videos. And we actually include the one single tool that you need to do any part replacement in the box with the laptop. So if you ever need to do any of those swaps later on, that tool is already with you. And so, for example, let's say 3 years in, you've used the laptop every day, you've worn the battery out a bit, and you decide like, okay, I want a fresh battery. I want a brand new battery life again. You can take that screwdriver, open up the system. It takes about 2 minutes to actually open it up, and then swap out the battery. That takes 1 minute, and then put it back together. So that total process.
Just like a toy, just like the batteries in my children's toy. I can just do it like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that total process of swapping that battery, once every 3 years will take you 10 minutes. If you're someone who's totally unfamiliar with computers, if you're someone who's in computers every day, you can do it 2 minutes flat.
Power supply. Sometimes they get wrong. The little bits, USB ports, sometimes they get wrong. Can I go that level? Keyboards and screens? Because these are always the things that go.
Absolutely. So it's really, we looked at the frequency of failure across every module in a typical laptop and designed for kind of the simplicity of replacement based on that frequency. So it's easy to replace that screen, easy to replace that battery. The ports are actually little modules that we developed called expansion cards. So when you buy the laptop, you can actually select the ports that you want in your system. So if you're someone who needs a certain type of monitor, you need HDMI or DisplayPort, pick up that card. If you want USB-A or USB-C or Ethernet or other things, you can actually choose your ports. And then at any point after that, you can actually just swap those ports out.
Are you sure you're making computers and not Lego?
Yeah, I mean, it fits a lot of the mentality of someone who just wants to be able to get the thing that's fit to their own needs.
That's incredible. Screens are a pain, and they're a pain in the ass because when they go, you get the blue screen or that thing happens.
Right.
And that's generally when, I take it to my computer guy and say, mate, it's got to go, it's gone. Sometimes it's, where that connection is where the lid pivots to the base.
Yeah, the hinges.
And there are things like that. Can you do that, or is that just a bit step too far?
Yeah, absolutely. No, every part of it, you can replace the hinges, you can replace the display. One thing that we've done that makes it a bit easier is that instead of the display being glued in like it would be on most laptops, it's actually also held in with screws. And so we have this magnet attached bezel. You can remove the bezel, so it's actually color customizable as well. And then you can just take that display out and swap it. Whereas typically for a laptop, if you smash your display somehow, you'd have to replace basically half the laptop. In our case, you can just replace the display. So it's much, much more cost effective.
What does all this do for emissions? Because that's the thing. So one thing you've addressed is longevity. So if we talked about earlier, you said kind of 3 years is the average laptop. If I buy one of yours and things start to go wrong and I keep replacing them, how long will it last?
Yeah, our general philosophy is that we want to make products that last twice as long. And not just last, like it's purely functional for twice as long. We actually want that end user to have a good experience for that entire span of time.
Right.
That they're not kind of suffering through in those last few years with a bunch of broken stuff, that they can still replace that keyboard or replace those ports or whatever else they need to replace to have a good functioning laptop.
So you're taking me from 3 to around about 6, maybe 7 years, right?
That's general goal.
What happens at the end of that?
Yeah, this is also an interesting one. We've designed a lot of the core modules and components of the system to actually be reusable outside of the laptop. And so if we look at environmental impact specifically, the most impactful part of a laptop is that main board that has the processor on it. That processor and the main chips around it are the ones that require the most energy consumption during the manufacturing process, actually substantially so. And so we want to make sure that that object is something that can be reused rather than going out into a landfill or being recycled.
Absolutely.
And so we've actually designed that main board to be functional as its own standalone computer outside the laptop. And so, of course, like if you look at that, that's not something that most consumers are going to take advantage of. It's not necessarily that useful to them. And so the key thing for us as a company is making sure that we're streamlining the process of getting that object, that main board that maybe that user doesn't need anymore, to some other consumer or some other business in the world that can reuse it. And so this is this entire philosophy around basically building an ecosystem and a marketplace around our products so that it's not just, use it, wear it out, and then throw it away. It's use it, repair it, upgrade it. And then when you don't,
pass on the bits to someone else.
Yeah. And then pass it on to someone else.
What about you taking it back? Because people talk about circularity and a lot of people saying that should be part of what manufacturers do, which is I buy it. Okay. Maybe you put a leverage on it on how much it costs, but at the end of it, you'll either dispose of the bits that have to be disposed of, or you take it back and you melt it down or whatever you do and bring it back as the actual manufacturer. Have you thought about that full whole life cycle side of it?
Yeah, our general philosophy is that the most efficient thing that we can do is be that matchmaker and the creator of those use cases, so that that person who doesn't need their product anymore, that module anymore, can find someone who does need it, rather than it having to come back to us and then us, you know, shipping it back to our own warehouse, storing it, and then shipping it out to some other end user end purpose. Being able to perform that matchmaking function in an efficient way, where that person, that first consumer, can just send that module directly to that second consumer.
How many of you use laptops have you got out in the market now?
Yeah, we haven't shared specific numbers, but actually we've been growing pretty substantially each year now that we've been in market for almost 3 years.
So hundreds or thousands? Let's just go with that.
More than that.
Okay, more than that. All right.
Yeah, so we've got it. Yeah, we're selling quite a few.
Several thousand, whatever. But what's been the reaction? So you've been going, you say, 2 years to market, is that right?
Yeah, about 2.5 years.
Okay. So we're still in our honeymoon period of the 3 years. But have anyone said to you, you know what, something went wrong, I've changed it, have people tried it and found, because there's one thing conceptualizing it, and it sounds all great what you've said, but of course the other thing is when it's actually used in the real world. And have you had instances of people ordering it? And the other thing I didn't ask is, do I get the parts from you? How does it work?
Right, yes. We have a marketplace where we have all these upgrade parts and replacement parts and customization parts all available. And that's also the same place that people go to buy the laptop. And so it's basically, if you're an end user, you need something different or something more out of your computer, you just go right back to the website you bought it from and pick up those parts. And we have seen a lot of engagement of people coming back in and buying a new expansion card or upgrading their processor or, you know, adding more memory or storage, lots of different upgrades and repair scenarios. And the exciting thing here actually as well is that we've seen that, you know, typically if something breaks on your computer, obviously that's, you know, pretty frustrating. It's pretty annoying. You end up not particularly enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
In our case, actually, we've seen scenarios where someone, let's say, breaks their screen and then they come back to us and ask, you know, can I order a screen? They go and order a screen, they replace it, and they actually enjoy it because they got to fix their own product.
I think you got some super nerd customers. That's for sure. I think at the time. What about the other thing, which is that kind of the idea of the upgradability, you know? We all know this, things change, you know, browsers change and all this stuff that's out there, which I don't really understand. But suddenly my computer that was absolutely fine can't run this program that's been released by someone. Have you got the ability to kind of work with those software companies and go, actually, this is coming. It'll mean that that processor won't work with it, but this one will. And then we put it out. Or how do you see that growing in the future?
Yeah, sure. So we've been able to do now 3 generations of upgrades on our first product. So each year we've basically been able to release newer generation processors that are compatible with the existing system. So if any customer who's already bought a Framework laptop can then get that latest and greatest main board that has the processor on it, be able to swap that and keep using their computer with basically the newest components. And that is something that's pretty novel in the notebook space. The other thing that really works in our favor is that notebooks are a mature category. The use cases are mature, the technologies are mature. And so it's pretty easy for us to be able to build that computer in a way that does last a more extended period of time. Whereas, you know, other categories that are a bit newer, let's say like, you know, virtual reality headsets, it wouldn't necessarily be plausible for us to bake in one design that we could carry over for a long period of time.
One other thing, I mean, I think maybe it's come from you, but there's a stat here about 50 million tons of e-waste, probably more than that. But anyway, but there are things in computers that are valuable. Palladium, aluminium, you know, magnesium, things like that. Have you found a way of what you're making in the first place using recycled materials? Have you thought about that? Or is it still kind of those things will still have to come from the ground, and then the idea is that you're trying to expand the time they're actually in use before they go back to some form of recycling?
Yeah, it is both. So we actually do maximize our use of post-consumer recycled materials. So basically our metal parts or aluminum parts especially, we typically have up to 50% post-consumer recycled aluminum. For plastics, usually around 30 to 35% post-consumer recycled.
What's the future? Is this, do you think, something quirky, or do you think this is the way, you know, the big boys will start to go, oh, this is quite clever? Do you think we'll go to this system where we can actually, you know, give our electronic goods longer life?
This is an interesting one, and kind of referring back to this Gen Z mentality or younger consumer mentality, we do see a lot of interest and excitement from younger generations, especially in kind of breaking from the status quo and adopting products that kind of respect both their own needs as users and also respect the environment in a way that current products don't. And so there is a pretty promising aspect there to basically kind of embrace this consumer mindset shift that's already occurring and make sure that we as a company can go and support that.
What's your goal in terms of how green you hope Framework can be?
Yeah, and the interesting thing here is that ultimately we are still manufacturing computers. There's still environmental impact happening here. And so for us, it's
the embedded carbon. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so for us, it's making sure that at every decision that we make, that we're taking the least environmentally harmful path that we can. And also that just from a pure philosophy and product model standpoint, that we're taking a model and defining a model that reduces impact through longevity, and doing so in a way basically that we make sure that we are best in class, that if we look around the industries that we're in, the categories that we're in, that we're taking an approach that's healthier than our competitors are.
You're sitting there in San Francisco having a frappa wappa wappuccino with all the other IT geeks. What did they say? What do your colleagues in the kind of Silicon Valley world think about what you're doing? Because you all know each other, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. This is an interesting one. I mean, nobody expected a startup to come and build a new laptop, right? It's a category that felt finished. And actually, it being a finished category gave us the opportunity to go in and build something new. So it's not, you know, this frothy category that has a lot of interesting and exciting competitors and advancement happening. It's a, you know, pretty boring, but actually quite important category that is almost forgotten. You know, no one's going and trying to fix it. And so that gave us this opening.
So do people think you're weird, or they're just watching with like, what's this guy doing?
No, I mean, the exciting thing is people want us to win. You know, no one's excited to see Dell and HP and Lenovo and Apple have, you know, the dominance in the computer market. people like that we're out there trying to shake things up and take a healthier approach.
What's your hope for what you're doing?
Yeah, our hope is that we can actually just change the direction of the industry, you know, starting one category at a time, proving it's possible to build these products, and really importantly, proving that there's demand for it from consumers and from businesses, that people want products that are repairable, that are upgradable, that last longer.
It's a really fascinating thing, because I think that, you know, you're right. I mean, it's weird, it's gone full circle. You know, I'm Gen X, so for me, we did repair. And I think people have changed a lot over the last 25, 30 years and you know, even friends of mine, you know, they just, it's gone, let's get rid of it. Whereas kind of perhaps I'm still old and I go, hang on, can we fix it? It'd be interesting to see where this goes, because we might be going full circle where people can see that now, for a different reason, perhaps my generation was about cost, but now it's about the environment, about the damage that we do by keeping getting new things. It's been fascinating. Listen, really appreciate you coming on the Net Hero podcast. All the best with it. And I think you can buy Framework here in the UK, can we?
That's right. Yeah, through our website, frame.work.
Okay, frame.work. Get on there. Get an eco laptop that you can take apart. Get the one that's in a kit form. Nirav, you'll be there to help people put it
that's
together.
Right. Yeah? Yeah.
Best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate the chat.
Thanks. Great being here.
What do you think about this idea of computers that you can replace the parts of? I think it's very clever. Give us your opinion. Get in touch. Email us nethero@futurenetzero.com or get in touch on social media. Thanks very much for listening. Catch you soon.
You've just heard the Net Hero podcast from futurenetzero.com. Join us as we help you find ways to cut your carbon footprint as we head towards net zero. Subscribe and follow us on social media. FutureNetZero.com. Better business, better planet.